Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The people who claim to be Kenny Payne supporters, what are their reasons? What?
Why? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I've liked coaches. I've liked coaches. James just killed Anna.
I have to go.
We can't. He whispered something in our ears, and Anna.
I'm an idiot.
She slumped in her seat. She put her hand on her face.
Secret.
She went, oh, like that. But it's
I
just,
was born yesterday.
It was kind of cute.
We liked it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, people like certain people. People like certain people. What a great way to say it. I'm a wordsmith.
Well, James has the ability Shawn Michaels super kick us.
Yes.
He's very subtle, but he's direct on there.
Yeah.
He pulled yesterday. You probably didn't hear this on the V Show. I was talking about Dontrell Willis and...
I remember Dontrell Willis. You know,
well, I waited on him one time and he paid with a black card.
Oh.
James, it was heavy. It was heavy. But James... Yeah. James whispered something in my ear and Jeff Lightsey's ear.
Yes.
And Nick Valvano, and said, hey, me and Jeff have that card. And I was like, it super kicks me. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you don't have to say. It's like James Black History Month. That's a super kick.
This one is Mbako.
the Mbako.
And Blank.
Man. Rummage and Blank. And Rummage tried to run for the hills. Like, I would have done the same thing. Remember, just like, hold on now. Whoa. All right, it's the round table here on ESPN 680 105.7. Big thanks, as you heard, to Matzah Pie for dropping off some epic pizzas and focaccia bread for lunch today. Head out to Matzah Pie's Anchorage location for a unique dining experience. Also visit the Douglas Loop and Butchertown locations. Stop in and pick up some 10-20 craft brews. They're delicious. Had some of those at Five Iron Golf. Great beer. Had the Storyteller IPA. Fantastic. And discover the delicious handmade brick oven pizza. Matzah Pie. There we go. 437-968 UPS jobs text line. I've ignored the text line, Phil. You want to read some text?
Yes, please.
Let's do it.
We got to get into this photo you showed me too, as well.
That's next. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Texter Young Sheldon. Okay. Have you seen the memes? Like, because Young Sheldon is off the air now.
It was the finale. Series
finale, yes.
Okay.
And it was like this Young Sheldon finale was wild. And it's Young Sheldon laying on the ground. Like, remember when Walter White, when Breaking Bad ended, and it's just Walter White dead on the ground, surrounded by his meth?
Yeah.
Instead of Walter White, they superimposed Young Sheldon. It's like,
wait. I'm going to get a scholarship to King's College.
James, bro. The beauty of where I'm sitting, I can't see James at all, and I just see
Tanner.
He's
sneaking back there.
I see Tanner just locking eyes with you, and I'm like, is Tanner just doing this, like just locking eyes with you with the mouse? But I know it's James lurking.
So here's what's going on. So Tanner's, he's training to do the show.
Okay.
Tanner has a great hat on, by the way, but it's backwards.
Have what you is all it? Saw it? No.
It's the Modesto, and then the mascot is...
What? Nuts.
Go nuts.
Go nuts.
They're big.
They are big. Big nuts.
Are they big in the Northeast? So
No, California. Oh. I thought it was going to be like Louisiana when
out
I first
west, yeah. Out west, even bigger.
I thought California was too woke for that. I didn't know they talked about nuts.
I think Modesto is where Scott Peterson was from.
Scott Peterson. Oh boy. Man. There's a blast with the past.
Oh, boy. I've watched that. They had a documentary series on that.
I think Lord watched that. My wife was watching that not too long ago.
I had to stop watching it because it just made me mad.
Yeah.
For various reasons. Let's see here. Texture, listening to you and Anna talk about your lack of going to the lake and not making Jay Spall step up to the plate is a flagrant too. That's a great take. We need to get out there to
the Silver Bullet
the
Saloon.
Silver Bullet Saloon. Me, Anna, James, you. Tanner can tag along as long as he's invited. That'd be great. Texter, now Chris Beard is great, huh, Strebel? You have crushed him many times, so now when I pump up Cal coming to Rupp to Son Pope's boy, I don't want to hear nothing. That's from Tox. Yeah, I didn't say he's great. I said he's going to beat Pat Kelsey. Texter, did you get your Nolan Smith gear from Goodwill yet? No, Phil is looking. He's looking. He got a Hersey Miller jersey.
I found a Hersey. This was a couple months ago. So I have a little treasure chest of Bobby Petrino, Eric Wood, random walk-ons that I've never even heard of before. But you know, the Arkansas Petrino stuff is like my holy grail.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I will not part with that.
No.
And it says B. Petrino in there, so I don't know if it's Bobby Petrino Jr. or the real BP.
Right, the real BP.
So, those I will not part with.
Is that something that you'll will to one of your children when you pass? Like, it'll be in the will.
You know what the beauty of it is?
You'll be buried with it.
I've never worn it. It's sat. You think it's going to be some cool. I need to set up with a prop on the set in the back or something, because these things are just in Tupperware things collecting dust.
I need
dust
to see it.
I'll bring it in.
I need to see this. One of my former principal had a Bobby Petrino golf bag.
Huh.
Because he would do the Bobby Petrino, like, golf. He's a big U of L fan. He'd do the golf scrambles at Louisville. Yes.
Okay, so, look.
The first time around.
Yes. So I got post neck brace Bobby Petrino.
Which is even better.
I mean, again, it's one of my, it's the holy grail.
You know, you need some Bobby Petrino WKU stuff. That's got to be hard to find.
I bet Jason's wife probably has. Well, no, that was the Bronx.
You think Brian
stuff.
Hall has
B Hall, little B Hall.
B Hall, because
Anna Thurillo, help us out.
Help us out, Anna. Texter, yes, Mark Pope is dodging someone because he was assigned playing Clemson. Don't think y'all should talk, considering you weren't allowed to play in the ACC SEC Challenge last year. Just be glad you're invited to play with the rest of us this year. Stupid take by whoever the U of L honk on with Strebel is. That'd be Phil Baker.
Is that directed to me?
To you, yeah.
Hell's down, Bell's, brother.
That's not down. A Louisville honk, according to Luther.
Yeah, that's Luther right. Me. That's my guy,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Luther's
there.
A BBN terrorist, and he's friends with Phil.
Luther doesn't like me, but I'm taking up for him.
Wait, he doesn't like you? Why did Luther look like you?
Fan.
You never did it, but you're nice. Not all Louisville fans are, you know, they're not all blank. I'm kidding, blank. I love you. Hopefully his arm's okay. I need an update.
I'm worried about it. I'm going to text him. How's the arm?
Yeah,
right,
text
now
him.
Make sure he's not getting surgery.
Texter, bring back the round table. Love it. It's in the works now. It's been thrown out there. Texter, throwing this on the text line because it still makes me laugh. I said this pick is for Strebel and Andy taking on the backside this derby week. It's Samson. It's our good friend Samson and Locke giving the middle finger.
Have I ever God, that's great.
That's
man,
a great picture.
Samson, thank you for sitting. Have I ever
thank
showed
you,
the video of my buddy with Locke and Sweeney at Guy Fieri's Derby party?
Yes. Oh, Locke was smashed.
Oh, God. Basically,
smashed.
It was something along the lines of, get laid, get plucked, if you catch my drift. I want to, man, God, I need to play this on ESPN Global Plus. I got to make sure Locke would be okay with it, but boy, my buddy Oh, yeah.
Locke doesn't get tipsy too often.
He had a couple Zimas that night.
He did. And I had pictures from Andy. So it was Andy and his wife, Locke and his wife, were at the Guy Fieri opening.
Derby. Yeah,
Derby Grand opening. And boy, oh boy, the picture, you can just tell in Locke's eyes, he hadn't been like that in a long time.
One of the best memories of that, besides Locke saying that to my buddy on Snapchat, and he said it all to the masses, was there was like some cell phone case promoter that, like, with a backdrop that you had to take pictures in front of to go to Guy Fieri. Bob and Nick, like, walked out with, I'm talking, like, it had to be 20 each.
They cleaned them out?
They cleaned up. It was great.
I love it. All right, a few more texts, and we got to...
We don't soften over here. We got Tri-State Men's Health.
Fuck. See, James can now be.
I'm training Tanner.
James is. See, this is great. While Tanner's running the board, James can like play whatever sound he wants, which is great. Like, I love this old sound drop.
He's Sofro right now.
He is. He's Sofro. He's Sofro being a terrorist.
Yeah, I just let him do it. It's funny. I'm laughing.
No, it's great. I love it. Texter, what about Locke's backside? Texter, Chuck Hayes is from Modesto, California. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. The 6'6 King. How about that?
Pope has a. Texter heard PK didn't have the right tights available for his players, and Arkansas didn't want to play him. Texter, I have a Charlie Strong Orange Bowl polo.
See? Look, I mean,
there
look,
you go.
Those are the good stuff. By the way, did you see the guy from the Reds that got tased last night?
No.
You haven't seen this? Oh, my God.
How did I not see this? I've been online, too.
All right, so I'm going to show you the photos first, okay? And then I'm going to show you the video first.
Okay.
Okay, so Trent Rosencrantz, who adores Nick Curran. Which
yes, he does, which I love.
Yeah, I love that as well. Okay, so Reds streaker. Well, actually, he wasn't streaker.
He's a streaker.
I mean, he was a guy
apparently,
that...
Apparently, Aiden, the intern, his buddy was the one that has the video where, like, Barstool, Fox News got
really? Yeah. So intern Aiden's friend got... his video was viral.
He works with they both work for the UC like student radio.
Oh, how about that?
So here's the fan right here. The dude does a backflip into the cop. Hold on.
Okay.
This is great. Okay, so this is terrible.
Graceful backflip.
All right, here we go. There it is.
All right. Oh, wow, he is. He's running around the outfield. The police are. Oh, he does a backflip.
Knocks the cap off.
Oh, no. And he just got tased. So, oh, boy.
Okay, so that's good, right?
Yeah, that's great.
This is better. Here's a still photo of it, okay? You
okay,
ready?
That's him running, in the outfield.
A great backflip.
Whoa, that's great backflip.
Had the backflip. Look at that tuck there. Save that for the mixtape. Look at that tuck right there.
That is Olympic-level tuckage.
Look at the tase.
And then the tase.
I mean, that guy, that cop looks like he's been wanting to tase somebody for every bit of 6 months.
You know, if you do a backflip and knock a cop's hat off in the outfield of a Cincinnati Reds game, you're going to get tased.
Dude, imagine. I wonder what that counts as, like, assaulting a police officer.
If you, I mean.
But, like, the cap. He didn't get his face. So, like, an inch further.
Yeah, it would kick him in the face. That's assaulting an officer.
But what if it's just the cap?
It's an $80 cap.
Oh, that's what I thought of. How would he approach
it? Is it ripped beyond repair?
I mean, look at that tase right there.
Oh, that man's face is pure pain.
And then he goes to court still in the Johnny Bench jersey.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, he's wearing a Johnny Bench jersey on top of it.
It's even better.
Even better.
It would have been better if it was Pete Rose, though.
And it drives me crazy. I'm watching the game last night, Reds versus Guardians. I know we get the break here in a second for Wednesday.
No, you're good.
They cut away from it. I'm like,
I hate when they do that.
Dude, like baseball, if you want to adapt and get younger fit, keep it on there. You put it on a squirrel who's like doing the 50-yard line to the 40-yard line.
Oh, look at him. He's running around.
Put it on a drunken fool that's running onto the field. I know they don't want to normalize it.
And doing a flip.
But look, also, it shows you're going to get tased if you do it.
Exactly. And it also teaches people a lesson, and it shows people how dumb they look. Now, before we take a break.
I think that was a great backflip. I disagree. I don't think he looked dumb at all. I think that was the most athletic streaker we've probably seen in a while.
We have to get to this picture. So Calipari is at some type of,
It's the Cam Drummond's there.
Cam Drummond's there.
It's the top 100 NBA players the NBA PA puts on that in Orlando.
And Mark Pope's down there. Pat Kelsey's down there. We'll talk to Cam Drummond. As you said, he's down there right now. We'll talk to him tomorrow. But it's Chin Coleman sitting next to. And it was great because I showed Tanner the picture, and he goes, who's that? That's... He didn't know who Chin Coleman is, which was great. I wish it would have happened on air. It's fantastic. But Chin Coleman has a Flatville, Arkansas hat on with like a 1993.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He didn't look like a coach in that.
So no, he doesn't look like a coach.
You know what he looks like? He looks like every guy that takes softball way too seriously that the gas bats play at Tom Sawyer's Park.
1,000%.
He looks like, and then he's going to hit up Drake's after.
And Brad Calipari sitting right next to him with the same kind of hat on. Another kind of throwback 90s hat. It's very loud. And a white hoodie on with just a Razorback on it.
And Tanner's young, so... He's making excuses for not knowing Chin Coleman, but you need to ask him if he knows Janet Jackson's brother.
Do you know who Janet Jackson? Okay.
I know that.
Okay.
I played the sound with it.
You did. He played the sound of Grossman.
The Reverend.
The Reverend? Reverend Jesse Jackson?
When I worked at Finish Line at J Mall, and I mean this in all seriousness,
yeah,
I sold no less than 500 pairs of shoes to guys that look exactly like Brad Calipari.
Yeah.
That would walk straight down to Lids or Hat World, get Old English embroidered on the side of, like, God's gift.
God's gift.
And, I mean, they all were carbon copies of what Brad Calipari looks like.
Blessed. Just blessed. In old.
What's his chest hat say?
Oh, earned, not given. Earned, not given. Even though he's a nepo baby, it's earned.
It was earned though.
He won that race.
He did.
And Tom Izzo, Jody Dimling tweeted out. So
Tom Izzo
Jody.
Looks.
Chris,
Tom Izzo looks terrible.
You know, I thought his pants were pulled up to his nipples.
Yeah, he looks like an old man.
He looks like. I mean, look, your wife just went through the pregnancy.
Yes,
the
pregnancy pants. Yes,
it looks like it's up.
He's wearing pregnancy pants.
Up with that? And I was like, oh no, that's just the bulge is strong. Now, in the old Izzo right there. I mean, look, there's no way of hiding.
You're right. I mean, he's showing off in front of Cal. I mean, Cal may be washed, but he looks a little rejuvenated. Calipari does.
Oh, he looks. Yeah,
he looks great.
It looks like footprints in the sand, Cal.
It does. Yeah, or we're going to the World Series. Smoke a cigar,
dude. He was so sauced during that.
Until the big lady sings. He's like Locke. He doesn't drink very much,
but when he does,
he acts out.
So I've heard from multiple people. I don't know if we've discussed this in another text, that they're living like in some apartment down.
Yes,
okay, that's true.
It's Brad and Calipari are living together in an apartment, while Ellen still tries to sell their house and get a new house in Fayetteville. And apparently, she has to text Brad to make sure Cal's still alive, like he's eating and doing normal things that a human does, because apparently she waits on him.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
this is all true. I'm not doing a commentary on 21st century women or anything. That's true.
I'm glad you had to preface that.
I had to preface that.
And to say, okay.
I don't want to be a misogynist.
They're cleaning up. So Cal and Izzo and Chin Coleman, who looks like he's arguing with the run rule in softball at Tom Sawyer. Chin Coleman has it's like an airbrush tee on.
It is. It's like an airbrush.
It's like what the guys used to write at the back of your U.S. history book in early 90s. That's what the font looks like on a shirt.
Draw a big hog, a big warthog on there. All right, let's take a break because I really want to get to Weird Wednesday because I think it's a good one. A lot of people have been sending me this stuff, including one Drew Diener sent me stuff there. Okay, 437-968 EPS jobs text line. Hey, BJ Heating and Cooling, it's going to get hot. It's hot today. It's 88 degrees when I wrote in. It's supposed to be like 92, 93 tomorrow and Friday. Hopefully that system of yours is running well. If it's not, give them a call today and they'll come out. And if it's a big fix or a small fix, whatever you need, they'll work with you. They'll work with your budget. You have 0% financing for 3 years with approved credit. It's a free estimate. So if you don't like what they hear, you can check out with somebody else. And if they're doing something that's worse than BJ Heating and Cooling or asking you for more money, they'll come back out and they'll do the job. They also do free second opinions as well. They're a factory authorized Bryant dealer. I have one of those Bryant outdoor AC systems. They're fantastic. Absolutely love it. My house feels great. I trust them. You should trust them too. They're locally and family owned. They're celebrating 40 years of servicing our region here in Kentuckiana. Call the experts that you trust that I trust. BJHeatCool.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
They want to replace God's creation of humanity with man's creation. It was like standing at the altar of an alien god. And that's what a lot of this AI stuff is related to. Garner knowledge and energy and power from hidden forces through a secret language, through alchemy, they would call this, right?
And yeah.
Welcome back to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
That's my guy, Isaac Weishaupt. And listen, if you want to go down deep the rabbit hole, Phil, I haven't listened to this yet, but I'm getting ready to. Actually, that's maybe what I do tonight as I sit on the back deck and crush a Zen and some beers. But you'll love this. He did a three hour episode on the P. Diddy stuff.
Oh!
Yes.
Whoa!
Three-hour episode on the P. Diddy stuff.
So when you had him on, he was talking about Taylor Swift a lot, right?
Taylor Swift and just like, yeah. All
the Illuminati.
Illuminati. He does a lot of that. He does a lot of cult symbolism in like the Super Bowl halftime shows and occult symbolism in music in general, concerts, celebrities, yes.
So did he do like a looky or a preview of what the Diddy stuff entailed? It's like how he's affiliated?
Yes. He does. So if you follow him on Instagram or if you follow him on Twitter, he always sends out when he has a new episode like a little clip. A clip from it. So it's the show's occult symbolism in popular culture.
Boy.
Is the name.
So, Diddy and Kevin Spacey. Not a great couple of months for those guys. Yeah,
Kevin Spacey was on with Piers Morgan.
I've seen those clips. Yeah, he's crying. He's doesn't crying, have money. Lives in Baltimore now.
Claiming he didn't know why he was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane and with Bill Clinton and there were females on there that he didn't really know who Jeffrey Epstein was at the time, which is a total lie.
Wait, Bill Clinton, the Razorback fan?
Yes.
The
world famous Razorback fan. But yeah, he was on the Epstein plane with Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein himself. All right. 437-968 UPS Jobs Text Line. It's Weird Wednesdays brought to you by 502 Hemp and 812 Hemp. They have your cool summer drinks. If you don't want to get into the alcohol this summer, you can buy the THC Delta 8, Delta 9 beverages. You can still have a good time, be social, feel good for the summer at the summer picnic or summer party, barbecue, pool party, whatever it is, and you won't have the nasty hangover, the dehydration that alcohol gives you the very next day. So check them out at 502 Hemp, the Douglas Hills location, 812 Hemp over my neck of the woods, Clarksville, Indiana, off the Lewis and Clark Parkway by Kroger, Court Physical Therapy, 502hemp.com. So there we go. Let's do it, Phil. It's Weird Wednesday. Let's go.
Conspiracies, extraterrestrials, the occult. Gather around the lunch table, children. Don't try to get up. He won't let you leave. It's Weird Wednesday with Mr. Strebel.
All right, so Weird Wednesday, we're going to start off with some sound, Tanner. Now, have you heard this, Phil?
Which one? Max, I saw the show notes.
Max Crosby.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Raiders defensive end, okay? He's a beast. He's really, really good. He was on a plane. And he was telling Jim Rome how he and his teammates saw a UFO, and he's convinced there's UFO. All right, so here's Max Crosby breaking this down to In the Jungle with Jim Rome. Go ahead, Tanner.
Is there any doubt in your mind that there are UFOs and aliens amongst us?
Oh, there definitely is. That's not even a question. I don't want anybody to come after me, but that's public information. But Andre James, one of my teammates, our center on the team, he's all into UFOs and all type of different conspiracy theories. And so me and him have that bond, you know, in the locker room, we sit there and talk about different conspiracy theories. So when he got on the podcast, all of a sudden, you know, the final 30 minutes, we just start going into a, you know, rabbit hole about different things, but it's real. Like, we were literally on a flight back from Miami and we've seen a UFO with our own eyes, and it sounds crazy, but you can ask the pilots, anybody that was there. It was wild, and I seen it, and they had no idea what it was. There was nothing on the radar, nothing, and it was like a big shining light going in and out.
Okay, so there was Max Crosby. I mean, again, he believes in this stuff, but if there's pilots and other witnesses, it's hard to poo-poo that.
Well, and this coincides with, did he say where he was at?
He's on his way home, on his way back from Miami.
Okay, because there had been some things that happened in Vegas in the last couple.
Right.
Okay, so,
yes.
But this is UFO, and I know you sent something else that I don't want to dive into yet, but okay, so you're getting, look, Strebel, this is great for you.
It's great for me. You're getting validated.
More influencers.
Yeah.
And not from the standpoint, like, say he's, you know, a doctor, but there's more and more people. I don't want to say he's credible, but more and more people that are public figures that are joining the Strebel voyage
on
this.
And speaking out on it and being like, yeah, look, which was a taboo subject at one point, has now become something that people are more open to discuss and talk about, because it used to be if you saw a UFO, you know, you either didn't talk about it because you didn't want to be labeled as, you know, I mean, the old kind of scenario or the is it's the person that lives, you know, a country bumpkin, and they see the, you know, I was abducted and they took me from my trailer park and I was probed by aliens. Like that was the way people used to view,
right,
you know, contactees or people that saw these things, like all these uneducated hillbillies. And now you have celebrities and athletes and as we'll talk about here in a second, Harvard studies coming out and saying like, okay, there's something here with all of this stuff. There's validity here. The more people talk about it, and the less taboo it becomes as a discussion.
And I'm curious, and especially with guys like Rogan, who give, you know, these individuals with it through his interviews and whatnot. But look, I mean, the NFL is the most popular sport in the country, if not the world, next to soccer. And when you get a guy like this saying this, like some people kind of tongue-in-cheek laugh it off.
They might roll their eyes a little bit.
But
like,
there's
okay.
Some people that are like, oh, man, okay.
Maybe he did see something.
That's wild. So he and his entire, he said teammates and captains. And,
yeah.
Interesting.
People
okay.
on the plane saw it. So
the movement is growing for one James Strebel with seeing more and more of this stuff.
And I'm becoming more validated as the days go on, Phil, which makes me happy because all the people that used to roll their eyes at me and say you're crazy, you're nuts, pseudoscience and all that, which it still may be. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that it's definitive, but it's starting to become, okay, I could get really existential with this stuff. Like, you manifest the reality that you're in. Like, the power of manifestation. So
like, things that you want to have
happen
true.
To
yeah.
you or come true.
You speak them into existence.
Exactly.
Probably.
Or maybe not speak them in, but think them in.
Them, yeah,
think them into existence. So, if we're being... Okay, this is not where I thought we'd go, but I love this. Okay, we'll get to Harvard here in a minute, because that's interesting, too. If you get... So if you're the powers that be,
okay,
which, whether it be the military, the Pentagon, the U.S. government, the Illuminati, the World Economic Forum, whatever it is, and you want people to be distracted by something, or you want people to buy into something, the more you talk about it, the more it becomes validated. The more it becomes in the public consciousness, the more people talk about it, think about it, do podcasts about it, write about it, read about it, you know, have discussions like we are on a public platform, the more likely it is to be manifested into your reality. It's kind of like you're building your own existence, and they want that in the zeitgeist of the public for whatever reason it may be.
Now, I sent you something in our personal chat.
Yes,
I know
you did.
I know you're going to dive into this. I don't know if I've ever heard you or if we've had this discussion. What do you believe more in? Like, just aliens up there or, like, aliens down there in
okay.
terms of, like, the ocean? Because that's
underwater. Underwater UAPs.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me because there's so much unknown of... I mean, let's be honest. You saw the Titanic submarine that exploded last go around. Like, we don't know the depths of the ocean.
We know less about that than we do about, like, the space that surrounds us.
Right.
We know less about the ocean than, like, the moon and the sun. And,
so where do you think some of these, dare I say,
entities?
Aliens, yes, would be more likely to be up there or down there?
Okay, well, this ties into the article here that I'm about to read. So this is why when you said that to me, I was like, okay, this will all go together. Okay, here we go. This is from the New York Post, and other news entities have picked this up as well. Aliens might be living among us disguised as humans or in a base, this goes to you, Phil, inside the moon, according to a new Harvard study. Okay,
Harvard. Like,
Harvard.
This isn't like just South Harmon Institute of Technology Community College.
Right.
This is freaking Harvard.
This is Harvard. Now, this is the first thing that's come out of Harvard. They have a doctor up there as well. I think he's an astrophysicist. There was a heavenly body, save that passed through our kind of our area, and it was they think it was an extraterrestrial artifact. It was in space. Okay, and they don't know exactly what it is. They tried to do some research on it. So he works at Harvard, too. So here's what the article says. Aliens might be living among us, according to a study by Harvard academics. A new paper suggests extraterrestrials could also be living underground here on Earth or in a base inside the moon. The study by Harvard University's Human Flourishing Program further puts forward the idea that UFOs are unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAP, may be spaceships visiting their Earth-based alien friends. Okay? The researchers have investigated so-called cryptoterrestrials. I'm going to dive into that. These could be disguising themselves as humans to fit in, may have come from Earth's future, or may have descended from intelligent dinosaurs. The study was created to offer an alternate, unconventional explanation for UAP sightings and to hypothesize what they might mean and the possibility that UAP may involve forms of non-human intelligence, NHI, that are already present in Earth's environment in some sense that exists alongside us in distinct stealth. Okay? So, all right. I'm going to read one more thing and then we'll talk. The author became increasingly aware of the depth of evidence and theory that also tentatively supports other ultra-terrestrials, a term I've been using for years. I've been using that for years, and now they're using it in this Harvard study. Damn it.
Cites Dr. Strebel.
Explanation, the quote, cryptoterrestrial hypothesis, our focus here, which holds that UAP may reflect activities of non-human intelligences concealed here on Earth and its environs. Okay. All right. So here, let me try to speak human to everyone real quick. Okay. So this ties into two things that I'm highly interested in. One, hollow Earth theory.
Okay.
We have all these like caves and canyons and things that are connected underground, right? Mammoth Cave is the largest cave complex on the planet. And in cave country in Kentucky, there have been strange sightings of NHIs or cryptoterrestrials, okay?
And what do these look like?
They look like your traditional grays, little goblins, things like that that are seen around a lot of these cave regions, okay? The idea that there may be something, and then this also ties into Antarctica, which Antarctica is very interesting in itself. There's been a lot of sightings there. There's a lot of weird government
activity that happens up there.
Activity,
yeah.
Installations. World War II was a hot spot. During World War II, you had the Nazis doing a lot of experiments down there. Admiral Byrd in America led Operation Paperclip down to Antarctica as well, where he claims in a journal that he saw some things and all these other things. And then the moon. Here's what's interesting about the moon. I know everyone's like, Strebel doesn't believe that we landed on the moon. I do believe we landed on the moon, but what we saw, what NASA and our television, our government fed us, was not the real moon landing. The real moon stuff is top secret clandestine government operations to where there's like the dark side of the moon. China is doing all these investigations right now, as we speak, on the dark side of the moon. And they asked a NASA expert in front of Congress about a month ago, what are they doing? And he's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. BS, you know what they're doing. So this idea that the moon is artificial, it is actually like a base for whatever these cryptoterrestrials are. So the idea that these things aren't coming from way out there, that they live among us, they're under the earth, they're under the water, they're in the moon, and that's the origin of these things. And they're also extra dimensional beings as well, where they can pop in and out of dimensions.
Interesting. So, okay, so a lot of things, because basically it goes back to with the moon stuff, is that the public wouldn't be able to handle it. That's kind of your reason.
Exactly.
So it would be too much. There would be paranoia. People would freak out.
Sure.
Like the end of the world type situation of, oh, there's aliens amongst us.
End of the world, end of religion, end of norms as a human species, period.
Okay, so also something that they're talking about with these crypto-terrestrials.
Yes.
A technology. So four theories on the aliens living near humans are investigated. That this is what fascinates me. A technologically advanced ancient human civilization that was largely destroyed long ago, IG, by a flood.
Oh boy.
But that continued to exist in remnant form. So that's what's interesting to me, because like, boy, this is right up in Graham Hancock land now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is everything he's been saying, that, you know, the traditional scientists and archaeologists don't want you to even question anything right there. And I'm not, like, there's some stuff I'm kind of out on him on, where I'm like, I don't
know. Oh, sure. No, absolutely. But not everything he says can be taken as gospel. 100%. I question a lot of the things he says.
But it's interesting to me because there's so much unknown, whether it be in the Amazon, we just don't know,
yeah,
at the bottom of the ocean. Like, what do we know that's
down there.
Yeah,
we don't.
And to this, okay, so Phil, this is this. You don't understand how
making you warm
excited,
and fuzzy.
How excited? So okay, I'm going to reread this. Okay, a technologically advanced ancient human civilization that was largely destroyed by the flood, but continued to exist in remnant form. Also, the second are hominid or theropod cryptoterrestrials, a technologically advanced non-human civilization consisting of some terrestrial animal which evolved to live in stealth. The paper suggests these could also be an ape-like hominid descendants of an unknown intelligent dinosaurs. Okay, so back to the top here about the wiped out by the flood. So that's the Graham Hancock entire theory, is that there was a highly advanced civilization that was able to, and they were humans, that were able to build some of these ancient structures, and some of them may also be underground that we haven't found yet, that was wiped out with the flood. Now, the flood, people generally, they tie that to Noah in the Old Testament,
right,
and in the story of Genesis. But every ancient culture, whether it be the ancient Hebrew culture, the ancient Sumerian culture, ancient Indian culture,
they all refer to
a flood,
right,
a catastrophic flood that happened in ancient times and wipe things out and kind of reset humanity. And when you also, if you tie this to the Bible, of the Nephilim and the fallen angels, and when these things happened, you know, there was displeasure of what they were teaching humans. I'm reading the Book of Enoch right now, which is fascinating beyond fascination. It gives you the names of the angels and exactly what happened, the things they taught humanity that God was displeased with, like taught us how to fight, make weapons, taught us how to wage war on each other, things that obviously God, when his creation was, you know, was first put forth, that he didn't want us to know, but the angels had information on, because they are ultra-terrestrial beings. They're not extraterrestrial, they're ultra-terrestrial. They're not from outer space, they're from another realm, another dimension. So all this stuff, Phil, is being tied together in an article and a study like this, to where it puts it forth in the zeitgeist of humanity, that puts validity in this stuff. Now, the other side of it could be, all right, it's a psyop, it's Project Bluebeam, which is trying to bring forth an era to where it's like, okay, it's us versus them. It's humanity versus these non-human entity,
right,
non-human intelligences. So we all need to band together under one form, under one government, under one rule, whether that be the United Nations or whatever, to where, and again, it's a psyop to get us all together to under one world rule.
It's like the Game of Thrones stuff. Like, stop fighting with House Dragon, House, you know, Stark. And
House Targaryen, yeah.
And it's like,
absolutely,
we got to go against the White Walkers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, band together, but for nefarious purposes.
Right.
It's a fake alien invasion. That's the other part of this, which is fascinating, that it could be that it's this psychological operation to make us think it's happening, to get us under the one world rule. And also, this is all, again, ties together with this too. So you know what Göbekli Tepe is?
Yes.
Okay, so it's an ancient site in Turkey.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, they talk about it on a great...
Graham Hancock.
Yeah, Hancock. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So it's an ancient site in Turkey that basically reset the clock.
Right.
As far as humanity. It's an ancient monolithic structure.
Right.
That's really, like, they've only excavated 5% of it. Only excavated 5% of it. Okay?
Listen, I'm just looking these up to remember what they look like.
So these giant pillars, and these predate the pyramids,
predate
Sumerian culture, which we thought the Sumerians were the first ones to really build these ziggurats and the ancient structures. It predates all of that. They went in, Phil, and they're going to stop excavating. The World Economic Forum has declared that they are no longer going to excavate Göbekli Tepe. And they started planting these trees all around the unexcavated portion of Göbekli Tepe. And what do trees do? Trees set roots down.
Right.
Roots are very destructive underground. They grow into things. They destroy things. People have had roots grow into their homes, have roots that have grown into their pools, have roots that are grown into the foundation of their homes. So the idea is, like, we don't want, for whatever reason, they don't want us to know. They don't want us snooping around a lot of these old ancient structures for whatever reason. So they planted these trees, and they're just like, okay, we're done here. We're done. This is all we're going to see. This is it. Well, there's 95% of this. 95% of this excavation has not happened yet.
Okay, so that's crazy, because I watched that episode not too long ago. But something else from this Harvard study that I. It said that a technologically advanced non-human civilization coexisting with some of the terrestrial animal, which evolved to live in stealth.
Yeah.
I want to go back to that. The paper suggests that there could be an ape-like descendant or descendants of unknown intelligent dinosaurs.
Yes. So we don't know anything about dinosaurs. That's the thing. We have all these Jurassic Park movies, and when you're a kid, they're cool and they're neat and this, that, and the other, and they're scary and they growl and da-da-da-da. We had no idea what they sounded like. We have no idea what color their skin was. We have no idea if they had feathers or fur or anything like that. All we have, and like most of the dinosaur skeletons that you see in like a museum, like they're not the original bones. Like they have original bones to work with.
The replicas.
And then they take the bones that they have and they build replicas around what they have. So like that, Sue's the T-Rex in the Chicago Natural History Museum.
Okay.
So when you walk in, there's a big giant T-Rex in the middle there. The majority of that is replica. It's not the entire skeleton of the dinosaur.
Okay. So third, I breeded this.
Go ahead. Yeah.
This is fascinating to me. Just like the theories. The former extraterrestrial, crypto-terrestrials, I'm butchering that. These would have arrived on Earth from somewhere else in the cosmos or from the human future, as you alluded to. And then fourth is the magical crypto, the entities which are less like homegrown aliens and more like earthbound angels. So that goes back into what you were talking about.
What I was talking about with the fallen angel, which was Lucifer, and his name really isn't Lucifer. His name is Tsimshian, the lead fallen angel that got all the rest of the angels together and said, let's go corrupt humanity and make Nephilim babies with human women. His name was Tsimshian. And so the name Satan actually means adversary or the adversary. It's not like an entity. It's a name for someone that's adversarial to you.
It's crazy because a Harvard academics...
This is Harvard academics right here.
The Harvard academics do conclude that their theories, especially the elf suggestion, may be hard to take seriously by many people. They have the principal weakness, by the contrast, is utter strangeness, and particularly for readers schooled to limit themselves to modes of explanation within the bounds of, say, the standard model of physics.
Yeah.
So basically, they're like you said, it's like difficult for people to
wrap your mind around.
Yeah, it's like while the belief in extraterrestrials is tenable to believe, something like fairies is simply not a live option for many scientists.
Yeah, so they say here, they say the paper says these relate to the world inhabited by humans in ways that are less technological than magical, giving the examples of fairies, elves, and nymphs. So all of your ancient stories and fairy tales about elves, nymphs, and fairies, you think of an elf or a fairy, you're like, all these cute little things, like these things are like diabolical. They had these things called changelings. And they're elves that would come up from the underground. They all live in this what's called the Secret Commonwealth, which was made popular by a book by a Scottish pastor by the name of Robert Kirk. He wrote a book called The Secret Commonwealth, and when he died, his body disappeared. They think it was stolen by the Secret Commonwealth, the people that lived underground. Anyway, they had these things called changelings, where they'd swap out a human baby for like an elf baby, and they'd take the human baby underground. Like the baby they replaced it with was like not quite right, and they wouldn't live very long after that.
Wow. Okay, so this is
crazy. I'm a repository of this.
Well, I'm just blown away that like Harvard is coming in.
Harvard's
with this.
Doing this. Exactly.
I mean, it's not, no disrespect to your boy Isaac. I mean, but come on. Like, I can understand why some are like, Strebel, you're having this guy on.
Exactly.
You're excited, but like,
if I had one of these Harvard professors on here to talk about this stuff, it makes, and there's another lady named Diana Pasulka who's a PhD at University of North Carolina, Greensboro. And she's written two books. I tell Anna to read them all the time. One's called American Cosmic. That's the first one. You should read that.
Okay.
She's a theological expert. Her expertise is in theology, specifically Catholicism. Then she wrote a follow-up called Encounters. You need to read those books.
Okay.
Actually, have them. I'll bring them
okay,
in for
I'll bring
you.
Them. Yeah, no, I'm they're, looking they're, for they're some short, cool reading.
They're short reads.
It's either that or Phil Still. So I'm going to listen to breakdown
Phil
of it.
Phil Still.
Real quick before I get out of here. The study by Harvard, what this photo that they have of that it's at the top of it. With the, it looks like a flying saucer. What's this?
Let me go look at it.
So at the top of the New York Post.
It says here, four theories on, I don't know what that is.
So they're just randomly showing that it really didn't have anything to do with the story. It just says U.S. Air Force, then U.S. Army.
Yeah, it looks like it. Maybe
a flying saucer.
It's like a prototype.
Okay.
Like they're trying to, well, there's this whole thing of reverse engineering.
Okay, so like it's just a random...
Yes.
Yeah, okay, it was just a random Getty photo that was up there.
Yes, and
okay.
That goes into Bob Lazar and everything, too, with he reverse-engineered some of this technology that has been left for us trying to figure out. You want to read some text here
yes,
before
please.
You get in here?
Yes, right,
let's
definitely.
Read some text. This is a great Weird Wednesday. Texter says, "Everyone is that meme from Billy Madison. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to you every Weird Wednesday at 4:30. This is appropriate. We'll send that to Harvard. You want to send the dumber that you're so smart? Send that to Harvard. Send it to the people that did this research. Okay, just send it to them. It's not. I'm reading there. Texter, China has been covering up their pyramids with trees for years now. Yes, so China has multiple pyramids. They have pyramids all over the country, and they've been. This is a pyramid in China." Or they've been planting trees so people won't investigate it, won't look at it.
So they're stealing, it's destroying evidence.
Yes, yeah, they're destroying it. They don't want us to know where we came from, Phil. They don't want us to know who we are.
I just thought it was just something as simple as like landscaping. They just weren't trimming the trees.
They're doing
there.
This on purpose to hide our past.
Okay, yeah,
they're doing it on purpose to hide our past, Phil. They don't. They want us to think that we're this. You go. You wake up. You go to work. You do your job. You go home. You pound some beers and you go to bed and you pay your bills, you do it all over again. They want to remove this goes directly into Game of Thrones. The whole I'm sorry, I'm gonna go on a rant here. I'm
this
sorry.
Rant is firing sorry. Me up. Let's so, go. Let's drink so, beers.
Please, so the entire starts. You know I'm all about this.
The entire premise of the Game of Thrones series, The Song of Ice and Fire, is about a hidden history of a culture that they think is past and is fooey, and the children of the forest and the White Walkers and dragons, all these things. Like, oh, this is modernity. We need to embrace modernity, and we're going to backstab each other, and all the political BS that doesn't matter, that doesn't really affect the peasant or the middle class worker. That all these things, this is what matters. The battle for the Iron Throne, where in reality, what matters is the mystical and the stuff that predated them, and it came back to bite them in the ass, and they had to fight it off. It was real the entire time. It was like, oh, who believes it? It's just scary ghost stories that scare kids when they go to bed. That's the entire premise of that story, is what, and it's real. This is the exact, and no, Joe and Hunter Biden did not go to Harvard. I don't know where they went, but it wasn't Harvard.
Shout out to Arya Stark for that. So, what yeah. What is this building up toward, is my question.
I don't know.
Okay. So
that's the million-dollar question. It could be a good thing or it could be a very bad thing.
So I didn't know if there's like a date, if Isaac has like something that... I understand to question it, but
sure.
What's the end game here?
Like I said, it could be an end game of we're actually going to find out what this is, or it could be a government-controlled psychological operation to put us under more control.
Okay.
Like, hey, you got to listen to us. The aliens are coming, and there's a curfew. You can't be out. We're gonna spy on you, but not because we're trying to gather your information, and it's not bad for you, just to make sure that you're not an alien and da 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 all that stuff. Yes.
Okay. We covered a lot today.
We did.
We covered a Hersey Miller jersey I purchased at Goodwill. Me, if anybody knows the gentleman or missus who has the Kenny Payne Lululemon size 44 waist shorts,
please let us know.
Let us know. I will Venmo you to give those to Strebel for a gift.
Yes.
And, we talked about UFOs and the moon landing.
Yes.
So look at us. Like, we covered a lot today.
And Chris Beard spanking PK in the UM Center. All right, let's take a break. We'll get Kendrick Haskins in on here. I don't have a read because I already did the read. So it's a round table. Kendrick Haskins next.
Yeah, the bulge is strong.